The Lord has a purpose for each and every one of you tonight. And I know that there is a challenge that sometimes people struggle with, especially young people, saying, I'm trying to find my purpose. And I'm trying to find my call in life. And I'm trying to find what the Lord wants me to do. But the Lord has a call and a place in the body of Christ for each and every one of us under this tabernacle tonight. And there are a lot of needs in the work of God that are going undone because of a lack of dedicated workers in the vineyard. There are places, there are people that are calling for someone to come and share the gospel with them. There are people in other countries, there are people in this country, there are people across the street from where we live that need someone to carry a burden for their soul. And if we tonight, as some of the people of God, I am thankful God has more people than what we know about tonight. But if as we are part of the body of Christ and are some of God's people, we have an inherent responsibility to give our lives back to the Lord because He has done so much for us. If you are saved tonight, the Lord has a job for you to do. I'd like to begin over in a familiar passage of Scripture in the 8th chapter of Acts. I'd like to begin speaking as we consider Philip tonight and the story of the Ethiopian. And I trust that all of you are very familiar with that story. Give a little background to save a little bit of time. Philip had been in Samaria, and he had been preaching the gospel. Miracles were taking place. Devils were being cast out. There were people that were being divinely healed. And if that were going on today, we would say, surely we want to be in that place. Well, Philip, the Lord was using Philip in a miraculous way, and there was a great revival going on. But in the 8th chapter, in the 26th verse, it says, "The angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, and said, Arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is the desert. And he arose and went." Now keep in mind the context. This was someone that was in the middle of a great revival, and the natural response would be, "But Lord, there's something going on right here. I think I need to stay right where I am because, Lord, there are people being saved and there is good being accomplished for the gospel. But the Lord does not send us and call us based on what we see with our eyes." Young people, as you seek for the will of God tonight, remember that. It's not based on what you see with your eyes or where you think you can be best used in the kingdom of God. Because he was using Philip, and the Lord came, an angel of the Lord came and told Philip, "Get up from where you are. I want you to go somewhere else." Philip did not argue. He did not backtalk, and he did not spend 3 years praying, seeking the will of God. He knew what the will of God was because the Lord had spoken. When the Lord speaks, it's time to obey. Too many times we pray ourselves outside of the will of God. The Lord speaks and we say, "Well, I'm going to pray about it." What are you praying about? To know the Lord's will. Pray until the Lord reveals His will to you. But when the Lord gives His will and says, "This is what I want you to do," Lord, help us to respond with willing and open hearts and say, "Lord, yes, I'll go. I'll do it. Lord, help me to be obedient to the call of God." And it said, "He arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority, under Candace, the queen of Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasure, had come to Jerusalem to worship. He was returning, and he sat on his chariot and read Isaiah the prophet. And the Spirit said to Philip, Go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither." How comfortable was that? Here's someone on the chariot, and it would be easier to say, "Lord, I'm going to stay put, and I'll speak when you send them my way." You know, the Lord wants us to be willing to do some running after the will of God tonight. he ran after the chariot. And when he got there, he heard him read the prophet Isaiah. And he said, do you understand what thou readest? And this was the response of the Ethiopian. And this is meaningful to me. I remember 25 years ago, sitting in front of an old mission house in Ghana that Sister Dorothy Kaiser had built, I believe, in her 70s. Those of you that say, I'm too old to work for God, no, you're not. Some of you that say, I'm too young, no, you're not. God has a call. And I remember after Sister Dorothy passed away and we were there in Ghana, the brethren were there and they said, come back, or when are you going to come back? And I said, I don't know if I'm coming back or not. I said, but the Spirit of the Lord can teach you and lead you. And they said, but wait a minute. They said, remember the Ethiopian. They said, the Lord sent Philip and talked to the Ethiopian. The Lord uses people. And that's part of what I would in the Spirit that we get hold of tonight. The Lord can work, yes, where man cannot work, but the Lord does use people. Many of us are here tonight because someone was faithful to answer the call of God, and through their life, through their ministry, through their conduct, we were drawn to Jesus Christ. So who is there then among us tonight that would be willing when the angel of the Lord comes and he places his hand on our life and says, I have a job for you to do? Are we willing to respond just as readily? Do you know that Ethiopia is known as the birthplace of Christianity in Africa? We can speculate and we can postulate and we can talk about the reasons why, but you know, I have a feeling. We just read the reason. Because there was someone that was willing to leave where maybe he was recognized as being a great minister, where there was a lot being done. Where there were miracles being accomplished. There was a man that was willing to leave the many and go witness to one man. And through the obedience of one, is it just possible tonight that that's where Christianity began, the message of Christ began to spread in Ethiopia? Because there was one that was willing to leave. He was willing to leave the spotlight. He was willing to leave where God was working. And he followed the voice of the Spirit to go to a lonely place out in the desert and witness to one person. He was baptized. And it was because there was a man with a hungry heart for the things of God, this eunuch, this Ethiopian, and there was a man who was willing to answer the call of God, the Lord ordered their paths to meet. Do you know the Lord has some paths that He would like to meet tonight? But it's going to take all of us opening up and being obedient to the voice of the Spirit. It's easier to come and it's easier to just kind of be part of the group. It's easier to kind of just go along with the crowd. But saints, tonight, and it's the focus of the burden this evening, is that the Lord has a mission and a job for you to do. Are we doing it? Are we being obedient tonight? This message tonight is not meant to make anyone feel guilty. It's not meant to make anyone feel like, well, we're just not doing what we ought to do. I am thankful there are many that are listening and being obedient to the call of God. But there are also some, I believe, tonight that are not answering the call. There are things that God has for all of us to do, but it's going to take us being obedient. So are you willing? So what is your purpose tonight? You young folks, what's your purpose? We say, I want to find my place in the body of Christ, but does not that come back to our purpose? Do you know people's desires really are evident by the fruit in their life? What's your purpose tonight? Get wealth? Get rich? To have name recognition? Someone told one of my sons just recently at school, they said, my goal in life is that when my name is mentioned, people will know who I am in the world. That's pretty shallow, isn't it? What is money going to do? I know that we have to have money to live. I'm not preaching against having it. But in the long run, is it going to change eternity for us? Young folks, get your heart set on the things of God. And maybe the Lord has not come and shown you clearly tonight, this is the place I want you. And this is the call that I'm going to give you tomorrow. The Lord does not call us for tomorrow. He calls us for today. I remember going down to the altar as a young man, and I was dedicating my life, and the men, I was wanting what to work for the Lord. And the minister said, well, you know, you can empty the trash and clean the bathrooms. And I'm sitting here thinking that's not what I had in mind. Do you know I'm still cleaning the bathrooms? I'm still emptying the trash? Do you know that's what the Lord is calling for? It's not a matter of what and where. It's a matter that, Lord, here I am and I want you to use me. Whatever that means, however, whatever shape it takes. But it's going to take a willing vessel, and that's up to you tonight. That's up to each one of us individually if we will come to the place and say, Lord, I place myself in your hands and I want you to use me however you want. How many have heard the statement, say, well, I'm never going to preach? Has anybody heard that besides me? Anybody ever heard parents say, well, the Lord better never call my children to the mission field? What an honor to have a child that says, Lord, I'm in your hands. Whatever you want me to do. I know there are things that go against our flesh. I know it's kind of like this. Young people, I've heard this one too, so I want to comfort you tonight. So I'm afraid the Lord's going to tell me to marry someone and I don't like them at all. You know the Lord's not going to force you to marry anybody. Amen? Lord's not going to do that. Don't be afraid of that one. But do you know when you have a heart to work for God and there's that desire, the Lord has a plan that is going to be the most fulfilling in your life. If you will yield yourself to the Lord, and if there's something you say, Lord, I want to serve you, but not in that capacity, do you know that the Lord, as you submit yourself, that you will have no greater joy in life because God created you. And when you do what God created you to do, there's no greater satisfaction in life. There's no greater joy. There's no greater fulfillment. Wealth and education and money and name recognition and all of those things mean nothing compared to that when you come and place yourself in the hands of God and say, Lord, here I am. What you want, whatever you want of my life, Lord. So what's our purpose tonight? Do you remember when Paul testified? He testified multiple times of his personal testimony. And he taught, his testimony was this, that when the Lord appeared to him, he said, I appear to thee for this purpose, that you could be a witness to the Gentiles. God has a purpose for you. And I know sometimes when we're young, it takes a while to find that purpose. But the Lord will develop His purpose in your life when you place yourself in His hands and say, Lord, I'm going to serve you. Whatever you want. And so then our decisions when we're young, the decisions we make will not be predicated upon the purposes and desires of the world. They're going to be established and built upon the foundation that I want to please the Lord. You want to see revival happen, it'll happen in your own personal heart when you come to that place and say, Lord, here I am. I want to serve you and I want to work for you and I want to do your will. Remember over in the book of Isaiah in chapter 6. You remember the prophet Isaiah that had a vision of God? Let's just turn and read. Isaiah chapter 6. Begin reading with verse 1. He said, in that year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne high and lifted up, and His train filled the temple. You know, tonight, that the beginning of knowing the call of God is to get a vision of who God is. It's not about you tonight. We'll say, well, I think, why does it matter what you think? Because we all have thoughts and opinions, but it's relatively unimportant what I think tonight. If we want to find that place of fulfillment, we need to have a vision of God. We need to have a vision of His holiness and of His purity. And Isaiah began to get that vision. And he said, above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face. With twain he covered his feet, and twain he did fly. And there's a lot of symbolism in that. But he cried one unto another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. And the whole earth is full of His glory. And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with a smoke. That was the glory of God. Then I said, woe is me. When Isaiah got a vision of the holiness of God, he began to recognize how insufficient I am. He began to recognize that God is holy and I'm just a man of unclean lips. Do you know that when we get a vision of God, it's going to be a whole lot less about us and it's going to be a whole lot more about God? Anybody that is trying to work for God and it's about them has missed the vision and the call of God. And tonight, if it's about a group, if it's about individuals, if it's about what I can do and my strengths and what I'm capable of, or just the same way about my weaknesses, I can't do it because I'm weak here and I'm not strong there, we need a greater vision of God. Because God is just looking for a willing vessel. The Lord can do whatever He wants in any of us, but He made us free moral agents that we have a choice to make whether we open up our heart and say, Lord, do what You want. And so He said, woe is me, I am undone, because I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. And one of the seraphims flew unto me with a live coal in his hand, which he took from the tongues from the altar, and he laid it on my mouth. And lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin is purged. Tonight, when you have been touched by the fire of the Spirit of the Lord, it will bring about a change in your life. You can dwell on your strengths and you can make a list of pros and cons and look at all the different needs in the work of the Lord and say, what am I best fitted to do? It's not about what we think. It's about getting a vision of Christ and allowing the Holy Spirit to come in our life and move in us with His fire and purge us and cleanse us. And when God has touched our lives, this is what happens. I heard a voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? That was a question. Do you know the Lord's still asking that question tonight? Do you all believe the Lord's done with all of us? Do we believe that the Lord's done? I believe the Lord has a call for some more ministers. He has a call for some young, Holy Ghost-filled young men and young women to work for God. There is a call for people to dedicate themselves, whether it's here or out there or on your job, to say, Lord, I'm doing this for You. And whatever I'm doing it for the cause of God. And the Lord was saying, is there anybody that I can send? Is there anybody that will go for me? And Isaiah was able to say, because he'd been touched by the Spirit, he responded and he said, here I am, Lord. Send me. Lord, I'm willing, because I'm not going in my strength now. I'm going based on what You're calling me to do. There are needs in the gospel work tonight. And some say, but not everyone's called to the same place. No, we are not. But there's a call for all of us. There is a call for faithfulness within the call that God has for you. But there is a lack among too many. There is a lack of faithfulness. It's one thing. There's a great revival. Let's all pack up and let's go. God's really doing something over there. Are you willing to stay in the desert and work in lonely places? Unrecognized, unacknowledged, no great revival, and yet ministering the Word of God and the hope that you have of Jesus Christ. Are we willing to do that tonight? And the Spirit's still saying, is there anybody that'll listen to my call? Is there anybody that will go for me? The Lord's wanting to send tonight. He's wanting to have some faithful people that in the quiet of the night, He can say, there's a job for you to do here. Will you go do that? Say, yes, Lord, I'll do it. Yeah, I don't feel like it, but what does feelings have to do with it? Brother C. E. Orr said that 90% of what he did was out of duty. Duty within the call. Not saying, well, I'll just look around and find what needs to be done and go do it. No, in answer to the call of God. But within the call, there are responsibilities tonight. And it's not about when we just feel like doing it. I notice, and I've seen this for years, that when something's going on, people are wanting to get involved. Have you noticed that? I'll do that. I want to be a part of that. And after that, when it becomes drudgery and it becomes mundane, but there's a need for consistent work. It's like, where are all the volunteers? Where'd they go? Oh, there's not some big move anymore. And so for a moment, they gave an hour, they gave a week, they gave a month. The Lord's looking for dedicated service tonight. Regardless of our feelings, regardless of what everybody else is doing, someone that will keep the lights on. Someone that will be faithful at their post of duty, answering the call of God day after day after day. Saints, can we do better tonight? Are there areas in our life that we can say, Lord, maybe I've let my focus get off a little bit. Help me to reevaluate. And help me to come back and say, Lord, I'm here. Whatever you want me to do, Lord, who will go for me? There's a call if we'll answer tonight in whatever capacity. Do you know that there is a need for dedicated people that they will work their jobs for the furtherance of the kingdom of God? Some people isolate their work. This is my work, and then this is when I go to church services. This is my Sunday. And people are struggling to even make it on Wednesday nights. People are struggling to even be there on the second service Sundays. Why is it? Because we're getting too bound up. But most of the work of God, it's not done right here. It's done Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday when we're out. And the Lord's saying, whatever you do, would you do it for me? Would you lay aside your personal desires and get unentangled from the affairs of life that are keeping us? How many times do people say, I wish I had more time to work for the Lord, but I just don't. Why don't you tonight? It's not an indictment. But why don't we have more time? There's too many entanglements, saints. There's too many entanglements. The Lord doesn't want us all to say, okay, after service, we're all going to dedicate, we're all quitting our job. Oh, please don't. Please don't. But go back to your job and keep working and say, Lord, this is yours now. My time, my energy, the money that you blessed me with, Lord, it's yours. Whatever you want, Lord. And then, do you know, the Lord is going to start opening up doors for you. Because we all have different calls tonight. The Lord does not just have one call. There's multiple calls. We're different personalities, different gifts that the Lord has given. But the Lord is still in the gift-giving business tonight. But we need to have a heart to say, Lord, here I am. I'm here, Lord. Would you use me? And the Lord has something for us to do tonight. Well, Jesus told His disciples in the 28th chapter of Matthew, He said, go ye into all the world, right? Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And this is what He said, Matthew 8, 28, verse 19 and 20. Teaching them. I want you to go, and this is what I want you to do. He said, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always. The Lord's looking for some folks to go tonight. And it seems like sometimes when there's just a little bit of a call to dedicate, people say, yeah, well, not everybody needs to go. Why minimize the call? Saints, I want to be real clear tonight in the Spirit. There is a need, and God is calling for some to go. And if He doesn't call you to go, He wants you to dedicate yourself to stay when He says stay. And say, I'm not staying because I'm lazy. I'm staying because I'm going to keep the lights on. And I'm going to be faithful at my post of duty because I'm answering God's call to be right where I'm at. Answering the call of God. He wants to use His people in a greater way. Going denotes action. Well, He said to teach. What are we supposed to teach? He said, teach all things whatsoever I commanded you. You know what the world is teaching in the world in Christianity? Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you and He cares about you. And that's about the extent of it. That's about the extent of it. There's no message of a life change. The message of Christ is a message of hope. It is a message of a change of life. But how will we know what to communicate, whether it's across the street or across the sea? How will we know to communicate if we have not seen Christ for ourselves? And then He said, teaching them all things. And He said, baptizing them. So what brand of gospel are we going to take tonight? What brand are we going to take? You know, it's unfortunate there are so many different brands of Christianity, but in truth, there is only one way to serve Christ. And that is in holiness and purity and godliness, being sold out for God, that, Lord, I am yours. You've got my love. You've got my devotion. However, we are living in a time where too many people are looking at the Word and they're saying, let's not teach those things. And they start criticizing what you might call Church of God doctrine. That's Church of God doctrine. And, well, what doctrine do you all want to teach tonight? Because by definition, Church of God doctrine is equal to what? Bible doctrine. If what you know, if Church of God doctrine is never equal to Bible doctrine, we have missed it. And we need to go back to the Bible and say, Lord, where have we gone wrong? So when we start criticizing Church of God doctrine, you are criticizing the Word of God, unless we're wrong. And if we are, Lord, help us and show us. So when we go out and preach what the Word and teach, that doesn't mean right here. That's just the smallest part of it. But when you go out and witness to the world, what are you witnessing of? Are we ashamed of what the Bible says? Are we ashamed that the message of Christ was, forsake your sin, take up your cross and come and follow me? If a man doesn't love me with all of his heart, he said, you know, you can't really be part of me. That's the message of the gospel. But the message of the gospel is when you do that, there is hope of a better life. The message of the gospel is not one of restriction. It is one of freedom. The message of the Bible is not one that puts us in chains because we're in the Church of God. It is one that liberates us, that we can live like we want to, and we're no longer masters to sin. And we're free to live a holy life, and we have power to say no to the devil. And Jesus said, go and teach all nations. I want you to teach them everything that I've told you to teach. And I want you to go out in some translation, say, make disciples. How are we doing with our discipleship tonight? It's going to take dedicated people in lonely places spending time with people. Often one-on-one making disciples for Jesus Christ. Not to get another feather in our hat. Not to say, well, there's this, we did this over here and there's some. No, we want to bring people to Jesus Christ. But we're going to have to teach all things that Christ has commanded us. But how can we teach if we don't know it? Do you know what the Bible teaches tonight? Young people, as you seek God for His call in your life, one of the best things you can do right now is study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. People say, why do you do that? Well, I don't know. My church teaches that. I really don't care what everybody else's church teaches. That's not going to get us to heaven. We can't expect that to fly with people in the world. We need to get into the Word of God. Thus saith the Word of God. This is why I live like I do. Because this is what the Bible teaches. So then when we begin seeking for God's will to be known in our life, you young men and young ladies tonight, get into the Word and study it. Seek after it. Learn what the Bible teaches, and you will find that the Holy Spirit will begin to use that. And I pray tonight that He will kindle a flame to give a desire that you can be one that steps and says, Lord, I'm here. It's not about being great or low. It's just coming saying, Lord, I'm a vessel. And I want you to use me and work in my life as you would. It's not by force. The Lord is not going to coerce any of us, but He's looking for willing people to go out and serve Him. And say not there's 4 months. So when is the right time to answer the call of God? When is the right time? It's now. We can look and say, I'm too young and I'm too inexperienced. The Lord has a call for you in your inexperience. I'm too old. The Lord has a call for you in old age. But He wants us to dedicate. He wants us to be faithful. He wants us to be willing. And with our different gifts and differentness in the body of Christ, He'll use us. And He wants to send some. I believe tonight there are probably some here that God wants to send out to work for Him. He wants to start preparing people. You young people, have you heard about the Macedonia call? Everyone know what that is? Don't hear as much about that anymore. The angel of the Lord appeared to Paul, and he was dressed as a Macedonian. He said, come and help us. Come and help us. And so Paul willingly got up and he went to Macedonia to share the gospel. There are needs in our world today and there is a loud cry. Would you come? You say, well, I'm too busy. Lord, help us. It's not about convenience tonight. He that observeth the wind will not sow. He that looks at regardeth the clouds isn't going to reap. The Lord's calling for us now at this place in life to say, Lord, here I am and I want you to use me. Sometimes we feel like we've got to have all of our ducks in a row before we can start doing something for the Lord. You know, I found the Lord is very interested in messing my ducks up. I don't want to let that hinder what God wants me to do. We have some responsibilities tonight. It's going to take work. Working for God is not always easy. It's not always convenient. It usually isn't. So what are we willing to do tonight? Is there one person here tonight? Is there one that has heard the call of God and he's been dealing? I remember if you'll just allow a little personal testimony here, but I remember as a very young man hearing that song sung, though he may call across the sea, it says, with Jesus I will go. And I remember the burn inside as a very young person. And I remember the burn. Do some of you feel the burn tonight? When you hear the Spirit of the Lord calling and there's a need. Do you know my wife, if you'll allow me for a moment, my wife always said that she wanted to marry a preacher or a missionary. You know, the Lord had prepared my wife for me. He prepared her. It doesn't matter whether we're male or female or young or old. The Lord is preparing us. He's preparing us to do His work. But it's going to take us responding to the voice of the Spirit of the Lord. And there is a place. Is the Lord wanting us to, someone could just help me out here. Is the Lord wanting us part-time to work for Him or full-time to work for Him? I'm sorry, what was that? Full-time? Y'all heard of part-time work? The Lord is interested in full-time work tonight. A full-time servant of the Lord. Now, you may punch a time clock, but Lord, this is yours. You may be going to school, but Lord, I'm doing it for you. When you start doing it for yourself, you better back off. But Lord, whatever I'm doing, I'm going to do it for you. And there is a place that the Lord wants us, He's wanting people to take on some greater responsibilities. And I'm going to preach where we live now, all right? I was remembering, and again, I don't want everybody to say afterward, well, I'm gonna give this up. Through the years, I've had different young people come, and they felt the Lord calling them. And I thank God for it. And they said, okay, do I need to quit my job? And maybe I need to quit school. And I feel like the Lord wants me to work for Him. I'm going to tell you what I've told many people. I said, don't stop. You be faithful at what God has for you to do right now. Because see, we get up in the morning, say, none of us have work or school, so what are we going to do? I mean, we'll get a little tired of singing here after a while. We're going to have to go back home. What are we going to do then? The Lord's looking for people to be faithful, and then when the Lord, as He opens up doors and gives greater responsibility, we let more of those other things go. And when the Lord says, I want you to drop it all and follow me in the full with everything you have, then we need to do that. We used to hear a lot more said about full-time ministry. Do you remember Brother Marty? How long has it been since that's been talked about? May I give a little personal illustration tonight? The last year, we've been building a chapel. And my time has been occupied, might I say too much, with that building project. And one day I was coming back from the chapel because night and day, with all other trying to squeeze other things in, but my mind is occupied having to do this and that and call that one and the Lord spoke to me, and there's been times in my ministry I said, Lord, can I go, you know, especially when I was younger, can I like to work this job? And the Lord said, no. That was my personal call. It wasn't yours. But the Lord spoke to me the other day and said, you know, He said, that's why I want some full-time people, that you're not tied to the affairs of this life. And this is not an indictment on the ministry tonight, but I also believe this according to the Scripture. There's some of the ministers that need to start letting some things go to do some more work for God. But I can't do anything about anybody or about you, but it's, Lord, help me. Help me, Lord. Young people, the Lord's looking for people to dedicate themselves fully to the work of God. Because there are things that are going undone because we're entangled. And then there are things that are not getting done in the gospel work. And I'm feeling the weight of that greatly. But the Lord has, it's not for us to look at anybody else or judge them. There are some people that are doing exactly what God wants them to do, and they're working and they're doing this a little. But the Lord wants full-time dedicated servants. And you know, the Lord is not going to call us to do something unreasonable tonight. He's not going to call us to do something unreasonable. He's going to call us. He's going to equip us. He's going to enable us. But what He's looking for is for someone to say, Lord, I'm here. And I don't even know what all that means right now, but Lord, I'm placing myself in the hands of God. Scripture in 1 Chronicles 29:5 says, who then is willing to consecrate their service this day unto the Lord? The Lord has a place for each and every one of us. Is there anyone that said, Lord, I'm going to place myself in your hands and I want to work for you? There is a call tonight. And as we leave, even as we leave the meeting, at the conclusion of the meeting, may we go out with the prayer that, Lord, I want to answer your call and I want to be faithful to be in the place that you want me to be, that I can labor in the kingdom of God until you come back. Amen.